It's in our news today that there was, it sounds like, unanimous approval in the Judiciary Committee to pass a piece of legislation all having to do with deep fake images and artificial intelligence. And we have with us the ranking member of both the Public Health Committee and the member of the Appropriations Committee here, but somebody who also created this bill. Senator Heather Summers is here. And Senator Summers, thank you so much for your time. We have a couple things I want to dive into, but this was the latest news. Talk to us about this bill and what exactly would it do?
Okay, well, this bill was something that I introduced this session. It has changed a little bit. The Judiciary Committee puts their, you know, their language in there. But the idea behind this bill came from actually a constituent where her daughter, unfortunately, was the victim of someone creating a pornographic image of her and putting her face on the image, spreading it all over the internet. And you can imagine how terrible and devastating that must be for a high school person.
Oh,
so
horrible.
That's where it came from. And, you know, in the age of AI, it is very easy to make it look like it is someone that it is not. So this bill would make it a crime to intentionally try to make a pornographic image look like someone, you know, as a, it's, my bill was called revenge porn because that's what it was originally in this case. It was, you know, high schoolers, somebody doesn't like somebody anymore, and the next thing you know, this is happening. So this is really sending a warning that it is not okay. It is going to be illegal, hopefully, in the state of Connecticut, to purposely use someone's image on a pornographic image and put it out across the internet. In the age of AI, I've actually had people send me, not pornographic images, but morphing my face on, you know, someone else's body and making it look in a way that I felt was really inappropriate.
That's insane. You know, in Senator Summers, I'm going to ask, you know, how exactly it would all work and everything. But I mean, I'm not surprised that this got bipartisan support because, like you were just saying, it's not just the Taylor Swifts of the world. I think it's happening, it feels like, to everybody. And in AI, obviously, is just becoming more and more mainstream, really. But it sounds like the reason you crafted this is because you had a personal experience, but also somebody who came to you, a constituent, saying, listen, this is something that my high schooler went through. Has this been crafted before? Like, has a piece of legislation like this, you know, come forward before in Connecticut?
Not that I am aware of. And you can imagine, I mean, the pressure on our high school students, especially females, regardless of whether, you know, before AI with Facebook and social media, you know, it's a cruel place to be. So this just added on top of that, you know, and I have a 14-year-old daughter myself. So I'm thinking, geez, this is just not okay. And you know, we've seen the suicide rate in young females skyrocket since the onset of social media. Myself and my good colleague, Ryan Fazio, had put in a bill, you know, talking about, which is actually a study right now, the effects of social media, especially on adolescent girls. And I can't imagine, you know, this is just devastating for somebody that this happens to. And because the images are such close likeness, it is very difficult to distinguish whether it is real or not. And you can imagine how devastating this would be for anybody, but especially somebody who's young and
impressionable,
you know, really
under pressure.
Right. And the whole emotional, just trauma that comes along with that. So this is something that we think is very important. Plus, no one should be able to take your image, regardless of who you are, and morph it into something that's pornographic. That is just unacceptable on every level. So
1,000% agree. I'm curious, though, Senator Summers. So then how does it work? So obviously there's agreement that this needs to be stopped. But what does the legislation actually do? I mean, is it, you know, something that if you are caught doing this, you pay a hefty fine or something? What does the actual legislation do to combat this issue of deep fakes?
Well, I believe at this point in time, that is still in the crafting stage. You know, originally what I had wanted was more than a fine. I wanted it to be considered, you know, I wanted an arrest. I wanted it on someone's record. And I also wanted a fine. I wanted to come out swinging so that, you know, if it got diluted down, we would still have some kind of retribution. I don't think it's okay to just have a fine. Can you imagine the devastation you caused to someone's life?
No, I mean, I can't.
It never goes away. So if somebody then, you know, Googles your name, that image is still out there in eternity, so to speak. You can pull it down, but it's still going to exist. So it's, you know, it's something that could crop up over a lifetime.
Absolutely. So wait, therefore, so then what does this do?
Well, this obviously makes it a crime, and you can do your best to remove it, but somebody somewhere may have it. So I wanted it to be a very stiff crime to make sure that it was a deterrent to try to go ahead and you do this in a way that, again, people will morph. We see every day people morphing the picture of the president or other people into, you know, memes. That's not what this is doing. This has to do specifically with pornographic images. And so as we go through the bill, as it goes through committee, we will see where it ends up as far as what the crime is, what the, you know, what the penalty will be. But I would like to see a very stiff penalty so that it is a strong deterrent to not ever have anybody have this happen to them.
Well, that's
especially
just
somebody under 18.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing, Senator Summers. I there's only so much we can do about the crafters, if you will. I mean, there we barely have a handle on AI, the emergence of it, but we barely have a handle on social media. So I don't know why there'd be any sort of a pushback as to stiffer penalties, making this, you know, a bigger crime. To me, I think the only thing we have control over are deterrents at this point.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So,
the stronger the deterrent, the better. And I think if Connecticut passes this law, you know, we're hopeful with strong deterrents and strong penalties, then we will be a model for the rest of the country to take a look at. And I think that's important. And,
I think so too.
You know, I can't stress enough how, you know, some people that I've talked to, it's not a big deal. It is a huge deal for the person it's happening to. So, you know, we need to make sure that especially our young women are protected. And I will continue to do everything I can to make sure that that happens as we go through this legislative session. And I thank the Judiciary Committee for pushing this through and for recognizing the importance. You know, once it's brought to light, people can say, oh, yeah, you know what? I heard that maybe happened to somebody that I know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm glad that we were able to bring light to this, and hopefully it will continue through the system. We have a lot of bills, but this is a priority for young women in the state of Connecticut.
The state psychiatric security review board is back in the hot seat. Earlier this month, the board revealed that a current Whiting forensic patient who was acquitted in the 2015 murder of his girlfriend, Delma Murphy, by reason of insanity, changed his legal last name without the victim's immediate family being notified of it. And this shocking news comes 1 month after the board granted temporary leave privileges to an individual who killed another man with a bayonet, and 2 months after the board released a cannibal killer from Bridgeport, which, as you probably remember, made international news. We have Chief Deputy Senate Republican Leader Senator Heather Summers here. And, Senator, do these actions sort of call from either oversight, explanation? What are lawmakers hoping happens?
Well, I will believe, I mean, I do believe that the PSRB tries to do the best that they can under some very difficult circumstances. With that being said, for years and years prior to me being elected, which was 9 years ago, the PSRB, which is one of two in the country, we are one of two states that still has a psychiatric review board, which means you have to go in front of them before you are released into, you know, a halfway house, et cetera, to have them review whether they feel that you are a risk or not risk to society. What was happening is we were having no one ever being able to get out of Whiting Forensic because the PSRB was just only looking at risk. That was their only area to look at. So no one, in my opinion, can say that any of us are 100% risk-free, no matter what the circumstances are. So we did change legislation to not lighten the burden, but to have them also look at additional things, quality of life, length of stay, compliance with medications, so on and so forth. So we did see a few individuals be able to move from Whiting to Dutcher, from Dutcher out to a safe location, et cetera. But we have now seen sort of this expedited exodus of individuals who, in my opinion, and I am not on that review board, deserve a second look at the risk factor as far as release. You know, it started, as you mentioned, with the individual who was had murdered someone and was cannibalistic, had, you know, eaten somebody's half their head and their eyeballs. In that particular case, going to a, you know, I'll call it a group home, you know, but the only really deterrent was you have to take your medications. Someone's going to visit you to ensure you're taking your medications. You have to wear an ankle bracelet and you can't go to Bridgeport. To me, that wasn't sufficient. You know, we just had what happens if you're not compliant with your medications? You know, do you just report it? Then somebody has to find this individual. Ankle bracelets are cut off daily in our state. That wasn't, did not provide a level of comfort or confidence that I needed, nor other legislators. Now we're seeing this repeated sort of release of people that we would consider very high risk individuals. Thank God that nothing has happened to date, but I think it did, it warrants a definite review of the process and exactly what the determination is or what's the determining factor that is allowing these individuals. Now, they're not just released out into the community, so I don't want people to, you know, think that they are freely walking. They are under supervision. But again, you know, I think about trying to supervise a teenager. Yeah, and you know, they always manage a way to find a way around things, so to speak.
I also think, Senator Summers, that it calls for action. You know, for me, it's I don't know if I'm as worried about the public as I am the people who live in that home and the workers. I mean, I can't help but think about October 2023, Joyce Grayson, right, who is, you know, is going in as a caretaker. And is killed, yep, by one of the people in that home. And to me, I think we don't have the protections in place for people going into work with dangerous people who have criminal pasts. And to me, I think that as long as we're letting vulnerable populations go into these homes, I think that we are not doing a good enough job. It's not so much that I don't believe in second chances or that I don't think there's enough oversight. But I think we are putting some of the backbone of Connecticut at the highest risk possible. We really haven't done enough to protect them. And so if we're going to do that, if we're going to put them in these risky situations, then we got to be vetting a whole lot better. I know when I reached out to the review board, they told me they couldn't really give me a concrete answer if the roommate of the Bridgeport cannibal case, if the roommate even knew about the criminal past. Right. And I think to myself, how is that fair? I mean, the people who are living and working in these homes, those are the ones I worry about more than the general public. But I don't think we have enough protection in place for those folks.
You know, and I would agree with that. I after what happened, the horrible, you know, murder of the nurse in Willimantic, laws in public health that are in effect that now a nurse is absolutely entitled to an escort. You know, there's a review as far as the visiting nurses, as far as the level of risk of the individual. They can have an escort go with them so that they are not alone in that circumstance. And I know that that was a very specific question that we had written to the PSRB concerning the cannibal case. Does the nurse aware? Does the nurse have the option for an escort? And all those were answered in the affirmative. I do think it is an interesting idea to make sure that people that are going to be living with these individuals also understand, you know, the background. It's a very tricky situation because these people were found not guilty. So they are not guilty of a crime, even though they did commit the crime because of their level of insanity. So right, we run up and we bounce up against the civil liberties and privacy. But the disclosure of the risk, I think, is something that we absolutely could take a look at.
Yeah, exactly. I just think that needs to be looked at a whole lot deeper. And I know we did pass legislation last year, but even those who worked on those bills did say it doesn't go far enough. And again, just talking about the review board, their answer about the roommate of the person in that Bridgeport cannibal case, they said, to my knowledge, they know, which, again, just to me, left a lot of uncertainty. And so I'm glad that lawmakers are focused on this, lawmakers like Senator Summers. And Senator, we have run out of time, but I thank you so much for always making the time for WICC, and we'll continue to follow these stories happening up in Hartford. Thank you so much.